Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And it doesn't suck as much anymore. We have breaking news on The Score. Breaking news is brought to you by Beat the Streak Podcast. Get an inside edge on how to win the $5.6 million prize every day this baseball season. Listen on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts. Saturday Suckage doesn't suck anymore. The White Sox announced that Dallas Keuchel has been designated for assignment. DFA Dallas Keuchel. So there you go. The White Sox don't hate their fans anymore. Not as much as the Cubs fans hate their fans. Not as much as the Cubs hate their fans by trying to dump the popular Wilson Contreras, doing what they can. Let's see if we can make them angry by going to arbitration and whatever. So there you go. You got part of your wish, Trash Panda.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, I'm surprised. Why did it take this long? Should have been done after the game on Thursday. Should have been done after the second inning. Just get out of here. Yeah, right. Get out of here. You're done.
All right, we're going to go to the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So that's what the White Sox are doing as the Cubs-Sox series shifts to the south side. And the Cubs are rebuilding, and they won't use that word. The Bears are rebuilding, and they won't use that word. A man who has used that word is coming to try to sort it all out for us and maybe laugh at both teams using it. We welcome back to The Score from the Chicago Sun-Times, Mark Potash. Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, doing good. So you're around both teams, the Cubs and the Bears, and they don't want to say rebuild, and clearly they are. So what are your thoughts on this? How are you handling this? Which team is lying to their fans more?
Well, I think the Cubs are, I mean, I don't know if it's that big of a deal because it's so obvious. I mean, like I said, by definition, when you trade your more productive players and you bring in lesser players and prospects, that is the definition of rebuilding. So it's just a semantical thing that I don't know why Jed Hoyer is, and this was, I guess, going back to last year, why he's afraid to say that. You know, I get Rick Morrissey wrote a column in our paper, I think it's in today's paper, you know, that it's more just being maybe a little chagrin that it's a second time. You know, they did this 10 years ago and they're doing it again, but, you know, that they can't avoid that. And not saying that they're not calling it a rebuild, it doesn't change it. And I guess what gets me is that there's no middle ground. There's no gray area. These are the Bears and the Cubs are both very obvious rebuilds. And in the Bears case, it's fine. I mean, I think that's good. I think they're doing the right thing. And the Cubs probably are too, because the players they had could not sustain their peak efficiency that they wanted to get paid for, their peak production. So I don't think either one is that shameful. The Cubs won a World Series. I mean, that satisfied more Cub fans than probably you think. You know what I'm saying? Fans have said, I got my World Series, I'm good, whatever happens is gravy. And I don't think it's that big of a deal to call it a rebuild. That's very obvious what it is. And I think it's looking like they actually did. I always thought it would be really difficult. If you look at the trades they made in 2011, 10, 11, 12 to get the draft picks, the prospects they got, it would be, and the players they got, like, you know, like Arrieta, I thought it would be very hard to match that. And I still think it will be hard to match the haul they got for what they were trading. But it looks now like some of these prospects are actually going to pan out or are looking pretty good. So they actually might be able to pull it off again. And I just don't think there's any real shame in that. I guess my point is it's so obvious that they are. I don't know why they're hiding behind not being able to say the actual word.
I think for the Cubs more than the Bears are wildly profitable before they open the door, before they sell a ticket, all the football, the TV money, it's unbelievable what they're worth and what they get. But I think with the Cubs it involves tickets, concessions, subscriptions to a cable channel. I think and then what you saw on the way David Hall wasn't allowed to use the word, you know, wasn't allowed to question Jed Hoyer's approach on the reporter show they have on Marquee. I think there's a lot of business people sticking their nose in Jed Hoyer's vocabulary based on what I call the number one rule in life, follow the money. And there's a lot of money at stake, a lot of revenue streams at stake. Do you get a sense that's the case or where it leads?
Well, I think that's the effect. I mean, I don't think, based on what we've seen, it's hard to deny that. Maybe in their heart of hearts, that's not what their intention is, but that's the way it is. I mean, they told us that Marquee would give them, you know, the barrel load of cash to be exactly what they're not doing. So that's kind of conflicting. Let's put it this way. I guess the simplest way to put it, they have used up more of their cushion of goodwill from winning the World Series and producing a World Series winner than I thought they would. You know what I'm saying? I think there's we shouldn't feel as skeptical about the Cubs and their intentions and what they're really thinking as much as we are. That's disappointing. There's not much anybody can do about it because they're always going to be making money and they're always going to be looking to make money and kind of rationalizing the product on the field, to make that happen.
So when we look at the differences in the way you can build teams in the NFL and MLB, I'm curious what you think about which team it would be a worse look for to be worse longer, if that makes any sense. So I think the Cubs should never be this bad because they have the owners that have the money to spend, and there's no salary cap in baseball. You can just spend. In the NFL, you understand what the Bears are doing because of salary cap. You know, they have to get back under the cap. They have to get rid of all these bad players, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm wondering what you think about, like, the perception of if the Cubs are still bad next year and they don't spend any money next year, how that will look to fans.
Yeah, I think it's worse than the Cubs. These are like two totally different things as far as when you're bad. Football, it's hard to tank. You really can't tank because, well, for one thing, like the Bears are going to find out, you can't tank and you have to tank and still protect your quarterback. You know, there's a larger cost to tanking in football and being bad at football. Usually when you're bad in football for a long time you accumulate draft picks, that's not really the plan. That's just how it happens because teams just know that unless it's a generational quarterback, it's really tough to do that. And like I said, you can't tank. If you get your quarterback killed, that makes losing that much tougher. Baseball is different. Baseball, the Cubs have proven it. You can do it, get draft picks, you know, sell off players for really talented players and make it happen. So I think it's actually a worse look for baseball. You know, if you're bad, but they pulled it off once. Let's see if they can do it again. So I guess the argument is it's more of an apples and oranges thing when you compare teams. Like, if you go on, what do you want to call it, tanking, whatever. It's totally different in football than it is for baseball. It's just a totally different dynamic.
We're talking with Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times, talking Cubs and Sox and Bears and right here on Saturday Suckage on the Score. So Jed used the phrase that it has been used often, the next great Cubs team. Have you seen anybody you're sure will be on the next great Cubs team who's here now?
Well, I think that's a great question. You know, it's funny. When I was out there last week covering the Diamondback series, and I asked some people I know, you know, that I've covered the team and been around the team, and I have to admit, yeah, I said this, I asked basically that question. I said, how many of these players will be on the next Cubs playoff team? And I got the most blank look I could get. I mean, it was like it's a totally stump question. You know, I mean, it, nobody really knows because, Horner, Madrigal, Suzuki. I mean, I would doubt as productive as they've been recently, Schwindel and Wisdom. I mean, I don't think so. I think this team's a little further away. You know, if you can't, and this is the, I guess, this is where it also, if you can't develop your own pitchers, you're going to have a hard time predicting when you're ever going to be in the playoffs again because, you know, they were very fortunate in free agency and in getting Arrieta and Hendricks that time. But, you know, it's hard to recapture that kind of magic, I think. And I guess they've done better now with their pitching staff now, but it's not convincing. Some of these guys that they're bringing up, I guess like Justin Steele and people like, I mean, they're good, but do we know how good they're going to be? So I guess it goes back to that is really, can you develop your own pitchers? And if you don't do that, I think it's going to be tough. But as far as how many, I think it's a great question. How many of the current team players are going to be on the next Cub playoff team? I think majority of them are in the minor leagues.
What do you think about then, since you say majority of them are in the minor leagues, I'm curious what you think about guys like Wisdom and Schwindel who can mash the ball, but we've seen Wisdom a couple times go through this year, go through cold streaks. Schwindel almost got sent down to AAA, only stayed up because they needed a body. So
he
what
got
do you
sent
think about,
down to yes, the middle seat.
Yes. So I'm curious what you think about those two.
Well, I think they're productive. I mean, I don't know what to think, to tell you the truth. I mean, because I don't want to disparage them, because obviously they're doing really good things for a bad team. But, you know, I've seen a lot of those kind of guys. And if they're good in a hurry, they can be productive. But more than likely, they're at positions where the next great Cub team is going to have better. They're going to be upgraded. They're going to have better players than those two. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard. It's a tough question because I don't want to disparage them and say, oh, they're not good or they're not going to be on a. They can't be on a winning team. I just think the next good team at the positions they play, first and third, you almost by definition need better players than that to be a World Series contender.
Mark
I don't know
Potters
if that makes sense, but I mean it's a tough spot because they're not bad players, but they're just at this point in time, in this point of their careers, they're not quite good enough for what you would call a foundation piece of a winning team. They're the extra guys.
Mark, last question before we let you go. Appreciate your time today. I want to ask about the Bears and what you think now that you've seen, we've all heard, seen Matt Eberflus, what you know of the players in the locker room. How is his act played? How has he gone over? What do you think? How do you think this plays out with a guy who comes in with sounds like, really Division II college stuff, high school stuff, that hits thing and all the acronyms, and he starts talking up draft picks because they made them. Meanwhile, Jalen Johnson, there's a lot of professional tape on him, but the guy with all the NFL snaps is running with a second team. How do you think that's playing in the Bears locker room?
Within the team itself, it's hard to say, but I think it's new. Okay, he's not Matt Nagy. That's the biggest thing he's got going for him right now.
Congratulations.
And
exactly.
I know that's kind of a joke, but that's the way it is in football. You know, he's not the guy who he replaced, and so that gives him a leg up right away. So no, I think it's playing very well, but mostly because it's new. It's the same old thing. It sounds great now, and I think it sounds good to them. And he's a fresh new voice, but let's see how it plays out. Once training camp comes around and the season rolls around, and let's see how well it works, because the Nagy thing is a perfect example of how we had this great culture at the beginning, and at the end it sounded like it wasn't such a great culture after all. You know, at the very end, it sounded like it was almost the opposite of what it was. So Not that neither one is real. I think they were both real. But boy, if you can't sustain success, it goes sour in a hurry. So I think it's playing well. I think you got to remember they're starting like over, so it's all new guys. So there's not a real core of veterans of proven veterans like Hicks and Mack to really have an opinion on that. To tell you the truth, it's all like these are all new guys. They're all it's like a fresh start. And so, like, you know, the big veterans are guys like Roquan Smith, who's been here for like 3-4 years, you know. So anyway, I guess what I would say, I think it's playing well, but like I said, mostly because it's new and different.
Yes. Well, we all hope there's an offense in place of whatever they call culture, and now hopefully the Bears and Hallis Hall will figure out that the offensive system is far more important than culture, since they didn't do well with culture before.
Yes, I keep saying Luke Getsy is the key guy. You could, if you're listing 1 to 100, all the people who work at Hallis Hall, including Justin Fields and Darnell Mooney and anyone, the number one key guy at Hallis Hall right now is not Matt Eberflus, it's Luke Getsy, because he's got to produce an offense that makes an offensive line out of something that doesn't look like it could be great right now. He's got to make an offense out of a receiving core, including running backs and tight ends, that doesn't look very impressive, being the lower tier of the NFL. So he's the key guy. But again, I go back to this, and I don't mean to make a joke of it, but he's following like one of the worst offenses the Bears have ever had relative to expectations in their history, and that makes almost anything is going to be better. And so I think that's a pretty good starting point for a new guy.
Great.
Let's get 20 points a game. 20 points a game. That's the goal.
He's not Matt Nagy. There you go. That's our slogan.
That's the reality. Sorry. I wish I had a big answer for you, but we haven't seen enough to really know, so that's the best I can do.
That's a good one, Mark. Thanks for joining us. Always a good time. Good information.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it. Talk to you later.
Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times, talking Cubs, talking Bears. All right,
He's
the Sox finally
Nagy.
Made the move everyone wanted, yes. And who tonight's starter is not Dallas Keuchel and probably won't be again ever. The Sox made the move. We will come take a break and then come back and discuss what it means. No Dallas Keuchel.
And Rosie, I do want to make sure we know, because I want to make sure that people heard this, because it looks like the 773 didn't, that the replacement for Dallas Keuchel on the roster as of right now is Danny Mendick, who has been called up from AAA.
Right, and you can imagine the twerking Johnny Cueto, who starts tonight against the Cubs, will be the guy who's taking the spot in the rotation. However they match up the numbers, Cueto's in, Keuchel's out, Keuchel got DFA'd, that was the breaking news. Breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Beat the Streak podcast. Get an inside edge on how to win the $5.6 million prize every day this baseball season. Listen on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts. Steve Rosenblum and Trash Panda come back. The White Sox finally did. They don't hate their fans anymore. They got rid of Dallas Keuchel. We'll discuss it after this. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contrast. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I mean, like right now, just gone through that experience, which, you know, we had a chance, you know, Vaughn had a big day. So starting with Lopez, you know, we got about 5 innings of one run, and we missed a couple of chances to add some runs. But there at the end, you know, there's a couple of guys not available or emergency only to win a game. So got away from us. So no, that wasn't any fun. So I don't think about that. That's, you know, what's next is for later, not now for me. Talk about the game.
Well, I don't know. We don't know what Tony was saying. We don't know why Dallas Keuchel was there. Dallas Keuchel's not there. If you missed it, the breaking news is the White Sox have DFA'd Dallas Keuchel, recalled Danny Mendick from Charlotte. That's the breaking news. Broke right around noon. Breaking news on The Score. It's brought to you by the Beat the Streak podcast. Get an inside edge on how to win the $5.6 million prize every day this baseball season. Listen on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts. So from earlier in the week when Dallas Keuchel went back to being Dallas Keuchel, he went back to saying, no, really, I'm not worried about my spot in the rotation. I've got to do my job, he said. That's first and foremost. If I don't do my job, then I'm the first to admit you've got other options. I've afforded myself some leeway, and I'm in no way, shape, or form out of this thing. Well, he's now out of this thing in every way, shape, or form. Dallas Keuchel has been DFA'd by the White Sox. Danny Mendick recalled. That's the breaking news. And just by comparison, Dallas Keuchel this year, a 7.88 ERA. Danny Mendick last year, 0.0 ERA in
Brilliant.
One game.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And this year, Dallas Keuchel had a whip of 2.156. Last year, Danny Mendick had a whip of 1.0.
That's good. That's
this
good.
This year, Dallas Keuchel had a fielder independent pitching of 6.20. And last year, Danny Mendick had a FIP of 4.17. So the Sox are calling up a better pitcher than the one there, DFA.
Oh, 100%.
I could not resist that.
Yeah, of course. I wonder if they left Danny Mendick in longer, if he would still be better, because Dallas Keuchel was basically throwing BP his last two starts and most of the season. And even during those two starts where he was good against the Red Sox and the Yankees, you knew it was kind of fool's gold. Like, you knew that wasn't going to stick around. And there's a reason. You know, we knocked down Tony La Russa, but he made the right call by not letting him go back out in the sixth inning against the Yankees 2 weeks ago, right? Because you knew it's you're playing with fire by doing that. So this is the right move, and those comments that you read by Keuchel from Thursday, when I read those Thursday, I was dumbfounded because I was just saying, is he delusional or is he just saying those things because it's like the athlete's thing to say? Like, I'm not out of this yet. He's just trying to like give off a front of confidence because I was like, dude, your leeway, whatever leeway you had is gone because you've been bad for almost 2 years now. So it's the right move to let him go. I'm glad Danny Mendick's going to be up here as well. The next move, possibly Josh Harrison. The guy is not filling the role that he was brought in here to fill. And I'd almost rather run with Danny Mendick at this point.
Well, let's consider what this move says and to whom it says it. To the fans, they love the idea. you're getting rid of Dallas Keuchel. You're getting rid of this horrible pitcher, this nightmare of a guy who's going to go out there, and you know that there's going to be one inning where he blows up. And you're right. The outings against the Yankees and the Red Sox were mirages. You were just waiting for the real guy to show up again, and he did. So for the fans, this is what they want to see, right? Doesn't this show the fans we care, we hear you, we see the same crap you do, right? You're a fan. You see this.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the locker room, in the dressing room, in the clubhouse, inside the clubhouse, I think it says it has sort of mixed meaning. Largely it says, we're serious here. Get better or get out. And that is a really good message. That's a message fans want to see. That's a message that I imagine a manager wants to see. I'm never really sure with Tony. I don't know how his justice system works, this lawyer and Hall of Famer baseball person. But it should say, get better or get out. And that's the kind of attitude you want. The players said World Series or bust. We, as management, said World Series or bust. That's the only acceptable outcome, and we're not going to continue with a sunk cost. That's a really strong message, don't you think? Do you think that's the way it plays in the locker room based on what you know about those White Sox?
I absolutely think so. I think it sends that message to the locker room and to the fans that, you know, it's a reassuring thing for us to sit here and see that they're not willing to put up with that level of badness. And especially because it was going to look so bad if you let him go out there again, because this is not a team, you know, if this was 2017, 2018 during the rebuild, pick a year, and they just need a guy to go out there and cover four innings, fine, whatever, let him go out there and suck. But this is a team that's supposed to be contending for a World Series. You can't be taken seriously as a contender if you're trotting out this guy that's going to put you in a six-run deficit in two innings every fifth start. So it not only sends that message to the locker room, sends a message to fans, and I guess the rest of the organization and the rest of the league that, hey, we're serious here. And you're right. Get better or get out, which is why they should hold guys like Josh Harrison to the same standard. Hey, man, get better or get out. You can't. We're serious here. We're trying to win a World Series. If you're not contributing, you don't have a part on this team, and we're willing to eat the money that is going to, we're willing to just pay you to go away.
Now let's consider what that statement says to other players on the team. You brought up Josh, you brought up Harrison, and that's a legitimate name to bring up. But according to Stathead, the Twitter feed at Stathead, Jay Cuda, 135 players have 150 or more plate appearances. This is where Yasmani Grandal ranks in slugging, 135 out of 135. Batting bad. Average, 133 out of 135.
That's bad.
Still bad. OPS, 134.
Bad. That's bad. Bad. Yeah.
Extra base hits, 135 out of 135.
Ouch. Bad. Yeah, bad.
Runs scored, 135 out of 135. And RBIs, whether you believe in them or not, 130.
That's so pretty bad.
There's a guy who is the Dallas Keuchel of offense. And we know he can't catch. He's a catcher who can't catch. So what would you do? He's just Yasmani Grandal. He was important last year. He sucks this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
Does
that message get to him? Does that message apply to him?
The problem with Yaz is if you were to... The message does apply, I think, to an extent. It should. If you're sending it to one guy, it should be sent to everyone. But when we talk about Yaz, he was good last year. And it's a different situation, I think, because Keuchel was bad pretty much all of last year and has been bad this year. And they have the guys to replace him, especially if Johnny Cueto is going to be even half as good as he's been in his first two starts. And Vince Velasquez has been better than I expected. So, and you even have a guy like Raylo who can cover innings, cover multiple innings as a guy that used to be a starter. So Keuchel was pretty replaceable. If you're going to do that to Yaz, who do you replace him with? Reese McGuire has been, you know, equally as bad offensively. He's not an offensive guy. At least he can catch, though. He's not a guy you want. If you're supposed to be a serious contender, he's not a guy you have catching every day. So Yaz just needs to get better. I think that they're kind of stuck with him because what's the alternative? You know, it sucks that message that you're saying that we just talked about, get better or get out, probably won't apply to him. Because, and I think he will get better, but I mean, I don't like that's he's been so bad. The problem he's really having is he started slow offensively last year. Right, like his average wasn't great, his slugging wasn't great, but he was taking walks, a ton of walks. So his OBP was in the 400s at one point while he was batting 190. And then he eventually came around on the hitting. Right now he's chasing everything, which has been unlike him for his career. So that's concerning. So he needs to get back to doing the Yaz thing, which is being a really difficult out and taking your walks all the time rather than chasing this stuff. So to your point though, I don't know if that message necessarily applies, because who do you go to if not him?
The thing about Grandal is this: given the dearth of left-handed power, the Sox and Gavin Sheets is like, what are you doing?
Lack of.
Yeah, right. And there's Grandal. And the idea of it, and this Cubs Sox series, you can't help but do it because they did it before. That there's the Cubs. They hate their fans. They're trying to trade Wilson Contreras. How would Wilson Contreras look in a Sox uniform?
Oh, great.
How would that bat look in that lineup?
Oh, outstanding.
You'd have to give Dylan Cease back. I think that's what would happen.
Ooh,
the one Cubs pitching prospect they could be proud of is the guy pitching for the Sox.
Or 309 just texted in, Grandal and Vaughn to Cubs for Wilson. Nah, hard pass. Andrew Vaughn's untouchable. No, it's not happening. I don't care. Because, so yeah, look, Wilson Contreras would look great in a Sox uniform. That would be outstanding. I don't know how you make it. I don't know if you're willing to give up Dylan Cease to do it, though. I don't think. I'm not willing to do that. No.
You're not. The number one, the greatest commodity in the game is pitching. And he was, I know his last outing, I'm not sure if he was tipping pitches, whatever he was doing, because that was so un-Cease-like. The Red Sox had something. Maybe they cheated again.
It wasn't like he was doing the Dylan Cease thing where he just kind of starts missing. They were just jumping on him. Yeah,
where he goes to the zoo.
Yeah, yeah, he's just wild. Yeah,
right. So I like that. with the Cubs Sox series, and you go, oh wow, look, hey, they got a catcher over there. They can't wait to get to arbitration with. The last soldier of the last lineup, right? Is he the last hitter? He's certainly the last regular in the lineup. Yeah, because Kyle Hendricks still there. He should have been allowed to throw a complete game in Game 7, but Joe Maddon was smarter than the room. He just got bailed out by his team. So, isn't he? He's the guy, right? Wilson Contreras.
Let me see here.
Addison Russell was gone.
Russell,
was Hayward in the starting lineup?
Hayward's still around. Yeah, Hayward started in the World Series. So Hayward is still around.
Yeah.
And Wilson Contreras is still around. But and if you want to count David Ross, then whatever.
Yeah.
But that's it. All the pitchers with the exception of, we're talking about hitters. So, yeah, right. Wilson Contreras and Jason Hayward are the only two position players left from the World Series team.
Okay. I did not know if Hayward started. I could go back and look it up, but we're doing this on the fly. And was Hayward in the starting lineup of Game 7? And
I'm going to have to look that specifically up. Because, I can't remember specifically where he fell on the playoff roster.
So, anyways, that's that's part of the Cubs Sox series. Hey, you've seen these teams make trades before, and the Cubs have a catcher they want to get rid of. The Sox desperately need a catcher, and yet they need left-handed power. And I don't know where they go. They need the problem with needing left-handed power and having a hole at second base and bad defense and questionable base running.
It's a recipe for bad. By the way, Wilson Contreras was in the starting lineup for Game 7. So he was. So yes, we can definitively answer that Contreras and Hayward are the last two vestiges.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I watch this and I wonder which is going to happen first. And the thing about the reason you can't trade Cease and the reason you want to acquire more people like him is that's the most valuable commodity. The other part is, if you could get, let's say you got Tim Anderson and anybody else, Tim Anderson, Andrew Vaughn, and one more guy hitting, right? What a difference that would make. What a difference.
Oh, it would make a world of difference because right now everyone...
You can't do it with the pitching staff doesn't let you, you don't have that kind of, Dallas Keuchel thought he was, I got a lot of leeway. No, you're delusional. But if you get one more bat going, then maybe the other guys stop squeezing sawdust, and then it comes together the way we thought it could. It's really hard to separate these. They're awful now. They look pathetic as a team when they don't hit. And yet the back of the baseball card says, this is still going to be a good lineup in less than a month, right?
It should be. And I think you're onto something there where if one other guy besides Vaughn and TA, who we think we can count on, and, you know, Luis Robert, I think I'm not at all worried about him even this season. When he still chases too many pitches, but I think he'll figure that out. That's a whole other point. But if they get someone outside of those guys finally hitting consistently, like Jose or Yaz or AJ Pollock's been coming on a little bit, and then, because this leads back to that story with that James Fegan wrote, where everyone is pressing because everyone's trying to get the offense going. So if one person gets them going, then you're right. I think everyone else can relax, and they know that they can sit on a pitch that they don't like, even if it results in, you know, even if they're going to keep struggling, they can sit because they know that other guys are picking up the offense, and they don't need to press go all the time. So I think you're onto something there.
So who would be that one guy in your mind? Who would be the one guy? Who would be the most? If you're handicapping this, if you're weighting it, who would be the one hitter who would carry the greatest amount of not tangible success, but who would be contagious?
Oh, that would be Abreu for sure, because he's the leader, right? So if he gets going, and you know, I mentioned,
aren't we still 2 months away from him, you know, owning August?
From August,
right?
Yeah.
Which is now getting to be tiresome.
The thing is, like, yes, he's always been awesome in August, but he has been even in. I looked this up a couple weeks ago when he was still really, really struggling. Because I was curious, I knew that, you know, he's not as good in April and May, and I looked up his OPS in April and May in his career is still 800. So even though he hasn't started great, per se, he's still been good to start the season. And he hasn't been anything near that. So if he gets just back to his baseline 800-plus OPS level, I think that will do a lot for the team, because that would be, to use your word, contagious, because he's the leader. I also Yoán Moncada came to mind a little bit because he can hit from both sides of the plate, which would be huge, and Abreu can't. And it's the same thing with Yaz, but I think that because Abreu carries so much weight for the team, him getting going would help relax a lot of the rest of the lineup.
And, you know, I think it's Yaz. I think he's the guy, and here's why. Because he's so awful. He's so bad. But as a switch hitter, he's so important. He's a guy who I don't think Abreu needs protection. But he's a guy who makes pitchers really sweat. Like, this guy behind Abreu's hitting, I got a pitch to Abreu. He's doing worse right now. And if I if I pitch around Abreu, then I got a guy who has an excellent plate discipline. And then I've got two on, whereas now I have none on, and I take my chances with him. That's why I think he's a guy who's really important behind Abreu, and I think he's...
You're thinking logistically. I was thinking more that metaphorical, like, who's going to get everyone going, and you're thinking logically. Yeah, okay. That you makes total sense. I agree with you.
Well, we'd take either one, wouldn't we?
Oh, of course. It's somebody
play baseball.
I don't care who it is. If it's Eloy, if it's Lurie, then fine. Like, please.
Yeah, I want him batting fourth, and I want Andrew Vaughn ninth. There
hey, you know what? If he gets on fire for a month, fine. Whatever. Whatever it takes to get them going.
For a month? How about if he goes out gets on fire for nine innings? Would you take that?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, of course.
We'll take a break. The breaking news. White Sox have DFA'd Dallas Keuchel. It's Cubs Sox weekend. I'm Steve Rosenblum, he's Trash Panda, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage, and the slap heard around the world, or baseball world, has got an update to it. Steve Rosenblum, Trash Panda, with you. We brought you the story earlier. One of the more unbelievable things in baseball. Last night during batting practice, Tommy Pham of the Reds approached Jock Peterson, former Cubs legend, now with the Giants, and they had and Pham slapped him. And all of a sudden, players from both teams are rushing to them in the outfield and during batting practice. And the issue? 6 months old fantasy football roster move. Tommy Pham thought Jock Peterson was cheating and did something wrong, and Tommy Pham was carrying this grudge and was going to let Jock Peterson know about it. And so during batting practice, Tommy Pham approached Jock Peterson and slapped him. We now have an update. Tommy Pham has been suspended for 3 games, one of which was yesterday. He elected not to play yesterday while everybody investigated. Baseball suspended him for 3 games today. According to C. Trent Rosenkranz of The Athletic, covers the Reds, Tommy Pham, tweeted this out. Tommy Pham said Peterson said, quote, disrespectful bleep about the Padres and bleeped with my money.
The plot thickens.
But we don't know if that was his fantasy league money, which had to be a lot less than his major league salary. But given the stupidity of this whole thing, don't you imagine that it is about that Tommy Pham was mad about his share or placement money, whatever he got or didn't get, that Jock Peterson might have in fantasy as opposed to baseball salary? Don't you believe that?
Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's for sure. Tommy Pham is like an idiot at this point.
Well, yeah, it's clearly so, and clearly this was about obviously more than just the whatever dispute they have related to the actual league, because apparently Peterson was talking and Tommy Pham didn't like it and held on to the grudge long enough to go ahead and slap him. And the money thing, you're right. How much money could it be? Even if the league is $1,000 buy-in, that's nothing for these guys, right? That's like me and my friends doing a $20 buy-in. So
that's right. It's lunch money for them.
Yeah.
So anyways, he got 3 games for this. How many games did Josh Donaldson get for making a racist comment?
That would be one. One
so
game.
He got less than a fantasy football slap.
And don't forget. Oh, so I was going to say, and if we're going to go down this road, T.A. himself suspended for saying, you know, a certain word last season. The league completely decided to ignore the context with which he was using it and the cultural context around it, and gave him a suspension. Okay. Yeah, again.
Mm-hmm. And Joe Kelly on this radio station with a wonderful, rollicking time with Parkins and Spiegel.
Stressful. if you're a producer, stressful interview is the way that I would describe that. But
I imagine the producers got carpal tunnel from the dump button, and I understand that. But he made the point. Joe Kelly got suspended 8 games for making a sad face at Carlos Correa, right?
Yeah.
Was it Correa? Wasn't he? Yeah.
I can't remember exactly who it was. Yeah, the sad face. Yeah. Yeah. Because they said he was instigating.
Yeah.
And 8 games.
Yeah. That's what's going on.
And
so,
it's so that's if we're going to, you know, we're going to list the problems that MLB has. This is certainly one of them. And it's not the biggest thing, but the imbalance of punishment needs to be fixed. Because I think that you would argue, any reasonable person would argue, what Josh Donaldson did is worse than what Tommy Pham did. It's stupid what Pham did, but ultimately harmless, and they move on. What Josh Donaldson did was much more offensive, and a lot more people were offended by it than just Tim Anderson, right? Plus, Josh Donaldson has a history of being an ass. So
yes,
it's
he does. Long time bag. I would say this. I can't let the violence, the physical confrontation turn into a slap. Yeah,
you're right.
Which,
you're right.
Not a punch. But give Donaldson more, because you're the one that you're the league that broke the color barrier, proclaiming it. You've got a Jackie Robinson Day. You completely soiled the bed on this whole thing, that you're not showing how bad words can be.
Exactly.
And exactly. You're not showing how cavalier and disrespectful it can be when you're carrying the flag of the man who really the single greatest sports figure in 150 years.
Yeah.
That was Jackie Robinson. And you give Josh Donaldson, you give the white guy one game. Really?
And yeah, that's the thing, is I don't disagree with the suspension length for Pham. What we're talking about here is we disagree really with the Josh Donaldson length. That should be longer. It's not that. And his suspension should be longer than Tommy Pham's, I think, anyway. Because I think what Pham did is deserves lesser punishment than what Josh Donaldson did. And the league doesn't reflect that.
I can't remember. I know it was the Cubs Sox series. Did Michael Barrett get 8 games for punching, as Ed Farmer said, for punching AJ in the grill? Just Farmio saying grill was great. But was it 8 games? Is that what Barrett got?
I'll look it up real quick.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, speaking of money, college football is all about it. And who would have imagined that the sane voice in all of this is Lane Kiffin?
It was 10 games, by the way. Barrett got 10 games.
Okay, there you go. 10 games. Well, Tommy Pham should have gotten 5 at least, and Josh Donaldson should have gotten 10. You just can't. You can't be that insensitive. You're supposed to have not greater knowledge. There's an obligation in baseball, it seems to me. There's an obligation for baseball and for baseball players to have a greater embrace, a greater appreciation for the damage words can do and what those words mean. And I think that should be punished. I'm not saying more than any physical assault or less, but I think it should be substantial. And so should the physical part of it. Anyways, we're on to Lane Kiffin being the adult in the room. This is really shocking. We'll get to it. Steve Rosenblum, Trash Panda, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.